I just want to shout, hallelujah! Trying to compose and contain it and restrict it. But I just want to shout. What do you mean shout? Why? Because that was done for you and I. Not just for those in his day or those that go all the way back to Adam, but even up to this very day. That's the power of his resurrection. It applies to all, no matter what year it is. This is 2019 AD in the year of our Lord and Savior. And, you know, we go back, but we believe that man's history on this earth is 6,000 years. We could care less what scientists say. All we know is that in the beginning, God. What does that mean? In the beginning, God. He was there in the beginning, and he'll be there at the end. And he's called Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Everything began in Christ Jesus. Paul says he is the beginning. Glory be to God is right. This is no fairy tale, saints of God. This is no fairy tale, you guests and you visitors. This is no fairy tale. This is true life. This is what life is really all about. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes to kill and steal and to destroy. Now, when he was speaking in that context of that passage, he was talking about somebody trying to come up another way. Somebody trying to come through over the gate, if you will. Somebody trying to go around the door. Somebody trying to circumvent the plan and purpose of God. Trying to get to God some other way. Jesus says, unless you come through the door, unless you come through the gate, the porter's at the gate examining anything and everything. And if you ain't right, you can't come in. Then Jesus says, I am the door. He says, I am the good shepherd. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life as a ransom for all. Oh, man, don't get tired of hearing that. Don't get tired of hearing about how you are able to be saved. And now that you are saved, what's next? And, you know, just living for the glory of God with every breath you have in your body. Listen, don't get so caught up into the ways of this world that it takes you out of the plan and purpose of God. No, no, no. You find out what the will of God is, and you do it. And you do it with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It don't mean that you won't have a career. It don't mean you won't have a family. It doesn't mean that you have to live a miserable life. Listen, when you come to Jesus, you find out what life is truly all about. He said, I came that you can have life. We see all of the tragedies and everything going on in the world. I was just informed this morning, didn't know, Sister Jernigan told me that in Sri Lanka they had this bombing, if you will. And, you know, people are going haywire, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. They're crazy, doing some crazy things that, you know, we have not even imagined before to be in our time. We think we are such an advanced civilization that some of the things that happened are way back then. But stuff that is going on now is just out of hand and out of control. And what's driving it, the motivating force, is Satan himself. Because not only is there a God, his name is Jehovah, he has a son named Jesus, and then he released the Holy Spirit to come as the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the standby, the counselor, the teacher, if you will. He's come to teach us. He's come to reveal to us. He's come to bring things to our remembrance that we don't know or we don't remember. He's here to help us. He's known as the helper. He's also known as the comforter. The Holy Ghost is just as real as I am before you and you are before me. The Holy Ghost is the person. He is the person of God, God the Spirit. And he has been sent here to help the church do an effective work for God. He is here, as the scripture says, to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He's convicting the world of sin because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. As Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned everyone to our own way. And it says, and the Lord laid on him, who is him? Him is Jesus, laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was the weight of the sin of the world that was upon Jesus while he was suspended on that cross. It was what caused him to be buried in that borrowed tomb. But because sin was not in him, Jesus was perfect. He's perfect. He is God the Son. He's the Son of God. He didn't have a natural earthly father. Joseph was said to be his earthly father, but Joseph didn't father him. It wasn't from Joseph's loins that the seed of life impregnated Mary. It was from the loins of God Almighty. For the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that holy thing conceived in you, he's going to be called the Son of God. So Mary got pregnant by the sperm, if you will, the word, if you will. Mary got pregnant from the loins of God. He had no iniquity flowing in his vein. He had no sinful nature. He had the very nature of God in him, though he took on the form of man and became a servant of man. Yet he was deity, wrapped up, clothed in humanity. And why did he come? What was the intent? What was the purpose? What was the reason why he had come? Well, Isaiah prophesied. He says, the people who sat in darkness, they have seen a great light. And Isaiah was prophesying about the Gentiles, all of those who were outside of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, if you will. He said, the people who sat in darkness, they have seen a great light. And that light was Jesus coming not only for the Jew, but coming for the Gentile too. He died for the entire world. We can't say that enough. He died for the entire world, that the world through him might be saved, because so many people turn a deaf ear to the good news of the message of Christ Jesus. And let me tell you something, God sticks closer than a brother. He's a friend, if you will. And it doesn't minimize who he is truly, but he's a friend, but he's God. And Jesus said it like this: he so loves us. Anybody ever been loved before? Anybody in love now? I'm talking about with an earthly person, and that earthly person loves you. You think, Brother Oliver, you're going to be in trouble. Going to be a long ride home. Sister Oliver going to grab you by your ear. But no matter how deep, no matter how strong the love that earthly person has for you, and rightly so, we all should be loved. I mean, when we came out of our mother's womb, mama and daddy should have been so happy and loving that child that has come forth, if you will. But as deep as a love as a parent for their child, or spouse for their spouse, or a brother for their brother, or brother for their sister, or sister for their brother, or sister for their sister, no matter how deep that is, one can have love, great love for a friend, if you will. But it pales in comparison to the love that God has for you. It cannot measure the love of God. What do you mean by that? Because, see, our love won't take us to the cross. Our love won't have the Father looking in from glory at his Son being beaten, wounded, being nailed to the cross, if you will, watching him, and then the weight of the sin of the entire world, past, present, and future, being laid on him. And he beheld that and turned away from it. Not that he hated the Son, but that he loved us. God the Father watched God the Son go through the suffering that they agreed to before the foundation of the world. They agreed to this. This meeting went on before we were even created and thought of, if you will. This meeting went on, and they agreed to this. And so the scripture says that when Jesus was on the cross, one of the words that he spoke was Eli, Eli, or Eloi, Eloi, however you want to pronounce it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You heard Minister Patton up here as he played the role of King David, whom it was prophesied that of your loins, if you will, the Messiah would come. And so, you know, you had King David, he prophesying in the Psalms, and it's like, you know, all of these things he had going on, and he's relating his experience, but actually he's prophesying of Jesus' experience. Isaiah speaks and prophesies concerning it as well. It says, he is, as a lamb was led to the slaughter, so he opened not his mouth, meaning he didn't complain about any of the punishment that he endured. When he stood before Pilate, and Pilate was like, don't you have anything to say for yourself? He even went so far as to say, don't you know I have the power to release you? And then Jesus looked at him, you have no power except that been given by God. And he was so convicted. But Jesus told him, basically, you got to go through with this. The others have the greater sin. But you got to go through with this. And so, you know, he went through all of this. And the Father's seeing this, knowing this. And he's suspended on that cross. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was just for a moment. But it was love. Love for all humanity. That God will watch his only begotten son to perish, to take our sin debt, our shame, and our punishment. Now, why did he do it? Because we couldn't do it ourselves. You can't be good enough to save yourself. You can't do enough good words, good works, and good deeds to save yourself. You can't be righteous enough to save yourself. This salvation is based on God's plan, God's purpose, and God's way. It goes back to even when God spoke in the garden telling the devil, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head, and crush the head of the serpent, and you're going to bruise his heel, if he will. And then you fast forward and you see Abraham getting ready to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice, and it's the only son that God recognizes, because Abraham had two sons, but the first son that he had, God didn't recognize him because he was made of man's own strength. And God says, no, Sarah, your wife, is going to have a child, and his name shall be Isaac, or laughter, because you guys laughed at the situation, but I'm going to give you a son. And God waited. Everybody say, God waited. God waited until they were well past the age of childbearing. Abraham, 100 years old. Sarah's 90 years old. So she really has no eggs. And he really, and please don't think I'm trying to be profane or perverted or anything like that. But he had no sperm and she had no eggs. They both were dried up, if you will. But God spoke to them at the appointed time. By this time next year, she's going to have a son. So God quickened their mortal bodies, made them come alive to his plan and his purpose. This is how good God is, and this is how powerful he is. So it's no thing. It's no, if God can make Jesus with a virgin, and God can quicken Abraham's loins and Sarah's womb to come alive to give birth to Isaac when he's 100 and she's 90 years old, it's no wonder that Christ would be risen from the dead after being dead 3 days in the grave and then having raised up his close friend, Lazarus, whom the scripture says the one that he loved, 4 days dead. Even his sister, Martha, who was so busy with so many things, trying to fix the house up and do all of these things. And here, devotional Mary is right there at the feet of Jesus, listening to every word that is coming from his mouth, because she knows he has the words of life, the words of eternal life. So Jesus is ministering, and Mary is right there at his feet, and Martha is so busy over here, and so busy over here, and so busy doing all of these things in the world. And then she gets angry and upset and says, Lord, don't you care? Here I am doing all of this, and my sister just sitting there at your feet. And Jesus looks at her and says, Mary has chosen the good thing. Because see, we get too busy with our life. We get too busy. We don't have no time for God. And so when it comes down to it, it's like, oh, that person, they go to church all the time. And it ain't all about church attendance. Oh, that person, they pray all the time. It ain't all about a long prayer life. Oh, that person, they're always reading their Bible. It ain't all about just reading your Bible. You're supposed to read your Bible. You ought to read your Bible. This is not condemnation. This is just simply help. Help us to grow in the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. Help us to fulfill the hope of God's calling in this earth while we are yet alive. Help us to understand the reason why we are saved and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not to live the same old ordinary average life that we used to live before. It's not to be so busy in this world trying to accomplish and achieve things that we neglect the weightier things, the things that matters most to God. Your relationship with Him is more important than anything you could ever achieve or do in this earth. Dad wants fellowship with you. Dad wants intimacy with you. Dad loves you. Glory. On this front pew right here, my son Jacob and his lovely wife Desi sitting right there. He loves Desi. Desi loves him. If they had no intimacy, we would never have grace. But out of their union, we get grace. Likewise, out of our union with God, which is by grace, hallelujah, for by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift to God. It's not the result of works, lest any man should brag or boast. It's because I do all of these good things. It's because I'm this good person. It's because I have all of these. It's because I do all of these great works and all. No, it's by grace. Hallelujah. So anyways, you got Mary at his feet, you got Martha upset, and she complains, and Jesus says she's chosen the good thing. So anyways, Mary and Martha are sisters of Lazarus, who's dead. And here Lazarus is 4 days dead. I remember where I was, 4 days dead in the grave. And so Jesus has come, and he's already spoken to Martha, and he's told her on the resurrection and the life, and she still don't get it. And so she goes on back, and then she goes to Mary and says, "The master wants to see you." And so Mary gets up and she starts running towards the master. They both say the same thing, but they got a different answer. Because Mary came up to him and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus, by this time, is scripture says he groaned. He's groaning because of the unbelief. He's groaning because he knows what he's about to do. He's about to raise this man out of the dead from 4 days being dead. He's showing that he's got resurrection power in his life. If he can raise a 4-day dead, are you with me? Do you understand where I'm at? You can read your Bible, John chapter 11. It's right there. It's written for your learning and your admonition, if you will. And so here, Jesus groaning in this light. So here's Mary, here's Martha. Jesus is coming in there, and so where have you laid him? Over there in the tomb. Okay, so Jesus making his way over there, and then here comes Martha, 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 always concerned with the natural, has not tapped into the realm of the spirit. And this is where many of us, we get saved, we receive Jesus, but we remain in the natural, and God says we are born again and that we are born from above. And as surely as we born the earthly, we must now bear the heavenly. But we don't want to pursue. We don't want to press. We don't want to grow. We don't want to mature. We just want to coast through life. And listen, Jesus ain't no just coasting through life. Jesus takes us through the winds. He takes us through the waves. He takes us through the flood. He takes us through the hails, the storms. He takes us through the fires, the earthquake. He takes us through life and everything that it brings on us. And we come out like the three Hebrew boys. We don't smell like smoke, and our hair is not singed. Well, I ain't got that much, but anyways, our hair is not singed. We don't even look like what we came through. You never know it until we told you, because that's the excellent work of salvation operating in our lives. This is why we keep him first. This is why we keep him foremost. In him we live and move and have our very being. We come alive to him. We're not dead to God. We're alive to God. A husband shouldn't be dead to his wife, and a wife should not be dead to her husband. They ought to be alive to one another, and so ought God's children to be alive to him. Yeah! He came that we may have life and may have it more abundantly. Oh, you probably know this. This is unscripted. This is extemporaneous. This is just, yeah. Yeah. So, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about many things. Any Marthas in the house today? Troubled about many things? And you name the name of the Lord? Come on. Forget not the benefits of God. I'm quoting the psalmist. Psalms, what is it, 103 or 107? 103. Forget not all his benefits. And so there's benefits that come with the package. And so if we're troubled about many things, it's because our focus is on the many things and not on the main one, the relationship with God. Listen, you can go through hell or high water. I'm preaching not only by knowledge but by experience. It doesn't matter what you go through in life. It doesn't matter what people do to you or even what you've done to others. Your thing is to be quick to repent of the wrong and the error of your way so that you can be right with God. Amen. 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 Yeah. So Martha, Martha, I'm trying to wrap this up because it is time for me to stop. Martha says,
Lord, by now he stinketh, because it's the fourth day. By now he stinketh.
It's one of those moments where Jesus probably just wants to take the microphone and go upside her head. No, he wouldn't be that violent if he would. But you understand the frustration of doubt, the frustration of concentrating on the natural. He has already told her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Whoever believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Can we believe? Yeah, he came to rescue us from death, hell, and the grave. He came to rescue us from a mired life, a ruined life, if you will. We were like that vessel on the potter's wheel, and as the wheel keeps spinning, and then all of a sudden it slows down and stops, and the vessel is ruined, it's marred, it's not what the potter intended. And so what does the potter do? But the potter spins the thing again to make it into that vessel that he desired it to be. So let's fast forward and have you on your feet. Stand to your feet, please. So Martha,
by this time he stinketh.
And so Jesus does what he was called to do, but he was making a bold statement and declaration that he truly was the resurrection and the life. The Bible plainly says this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Everybody say gift. The gift of God. Now, by nature, we are sinners. We are born of sin, and we don't get a new nature until we come to Christ Jesus. That's the whole concept behind being born again and being born from above. The first time we were born into this world. We were born from our parents, our dad and mom and their DNA and all of that. And that which was in them is in us. And that which was in them that got them or begot them, that, you know, it just keeps coming on down. It all came down from Adam. And so we have that sinful nature, if you will, that has to be dealt with. It will either rule you or you will rule it. And the thing of it is that God gives us the power to rule it. He spoke to Eve. You read it. It's in your Bible. After Eve had sinned, God said to Eve, your desire shall be to your husband, because of her disobeying the command, the word that her husband gave her that he received from God. He says, your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. What that means in the Hebrew is that your desire will be to rule your husband, but your husband shall rule over you. We go over to the next chapter, and we see God saying a similar thing to Cain, because Cain has now slew his brother Abel. And so God is like, where's Abel? Oh, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And God says, why is his blood crying up from the earth? I hear it. And so God tells Cain, he says, you know, in dealing with this, it was all because of the sacrifice. God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he rejected Cain's. And God is like, you know, if what you brought forth, I'm paraphrasing, is unacceptable, just go get something that's acceptable. Just do that. But you didn't have to take your brother's life. But because of that, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you shall rule over it. Paul says it like this in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Because you're no longer under the law, but you're now under grace. No more excuses. Just tell your neighbor, no more excuses. I've got to go all the way with God. He went all the way with me. Hallelujah. Glory. And so, of course, the story goes on. John chapter 11. Jesus, as I said earlier, Lazarus, come forth. And I want you to hear Jesus calling your name. Calling you out of where you are to the place he desires you to be. Yeah, I want you to hear whatever your name is. I don't have time to go around for everybody's name, and I don't know everybody that's in this room. But whether you're watching live stream, Facebook or live stream, or you know, however you're watching, he's calling your name, and he's saying, come forth, and he's commanding the grave clothes to loose you and to let you go. Because you want to be free in your service towards God. That's what really matters. That's what your life is all about now. Amen. Hallelujah. Every head bow and every eye closed. Father, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. We also, I don't think we received the tithes and offerings. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Minister Killings, if you could bring the basket over there. And Brother Finn, if you could bring the basket over here. We're just going to trust that you'll be transparent with God and be honest before him. That you'll honor the Lord with your tithes and offerings and gifts of love. We usually give an exhortation or teaching or something about the giving and all, but for sake of time, we're just going to trust that the Spirit of God moves on you. This is also a resurrection seed, and if you have your resurrection seed that you want to sow, this is above our tithes and offerings, but this is a special seed that you want to show God. You appreciate him giving his best for you, and you want to bring your best to him. God has said, it's in your bulletin, it's in the post, if you will. You can read it, and I cover the times. There's seven major feasts. Well, there's seven feasts. There's three that God commands everyone to participate in, and that is Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, which is also known as the Feast of Weeks, and then Tabernacles at the end, or the Feast of Booths, if you will. He says, on these three feasts, all the males shall come before me, and they shall not come empty-handed. But females can come, because there's neither male nor female in Christ Jesus now. But you honor God, and you honor him with your tithes and offerings. The tenth of everything belongs to God, whether you give it to him or not. If you give it to him, you'll be blessed. The windows of heaven are open over your life to make supernatural abundant provision for you. I have been in the Lord for many years now. I won't even go into how many years, and I've been a faithful tither. My wife is a faithful tither, if you will. We give beyond the tithe, and God has never allowed us to be forsaken or to be begging for bread. Now, in that, he gives favor. And even if times get tough, God comes through on our behalf. He'll do the same thing for you. Been doing it for a long time, never been forsaken or abandoned. But this is above the tithes and the offerings, if you will. You want to bring a special offering to the Lord today. Go ahead and honor him in doing so. In the day that you hear the Lord's voice, don't harden your heart. It's not about trying to get your money. We're not full of gimmicks and schemes of that nature. Our faith, our hope, and our trust is in the one true and living God. We simply want to stand on his word. How you doing there, Brother Ray? So good to see you. How y'all doing? Come on. Good things for you. Good things in store for you. Good things in store for you. Can you stand to be blessed? Praise God. Yeah. So as you're honoring the master with your tithes, and then you want to bring that resurrection seed, by all means, do so at this time. And the Lord bless you. Now, if it's a resurrection seed, and you have a specific thing, whether it be family member salvation, whether it be, praise God, whether it be a healing, a miracle, something you believe in God for, a breakthrough, something you've been struggling with that just hasn't happened. This is that season where the portals of heaven are open and special miracles get poured out upon the land. Trust Him every step of the way. Whatever you do, do in faith, without doubting, without questioning, and you'll see God move on your behalf greatly. Amen? Amen. So this takes care of the tithes and the offerings, and it also takes care of the resurrection seed. You might say, well, what about you, preacher? Are you going to give? Yeah. Yeah, and I'll do it because I prepared it. No, I didn't lose it. It is behind me. Thank you, Brother Finn. Thank you for watching closely. Hallelujah. He's guarding and protecting. Is Pastor Lucia somewhere around in the vicinity? There she is. Praise God. Hallelujah. We love her. And so for those of you who'd like to have communion as well, we'll do communion very quickly in Jesus' name. Come on. Is everyone given? Okay. The only requirement for communion is that you be saved. And why don't we do this real quick? Real quick. Not to rush through, but just do it out of faith. Every head bow and every eye closed. I'm going to lead you in what's known as the sinner's prayer. I don't have the power to save you, but I know the words that can save you and lead you to the one who will save you if you're not saved. If you are saved, you can still pray this prayer and just rejoice because somebody may be praying it for the very first time. We're not trying to put pressure on people, but we are simply trying to get as many as we can out of the pit of hell and into the glory of heaven, that they all may have life and have it more abundantly, as Jesus said. So every head bow, every eye closed, please agree with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you. You can repeat with me. In the name of Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead, according to your word and according to my faith that you now give me. I am saved. My name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus, thank you for being my Savior, my Lord, my Helper. I receive now the Holy Spirit to live in me, to guide me, to teach me, and to help me in the ways of God. And this new life that I have come into, thank you for taking away the old life. Thank you for giving me new life. I'll serve you as you show me how. in your precious name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, or if you're backslidden and you wanted to be reconciled, it's happened in Jesus' name. And we rejoice and celebrate with you. Now, we want to have communion, because it's meaningless if we have no relationship. And the only requirement for communion is that you be saved. I'm going to pray, and they're going to pass out the communion to you as I'm praying. The bread representing the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus. He is our Passover lamb. He's our Savior and our Lord. The cup representing his precious blood. For the Bible clearly says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so, as we eat of the flesh, or eat of the bread, and drink of the cup, or drink of his blood, we have part in him. We belong to him. He belongs to us. And so, Jesus, we thank you for the bread representing your body and for the cup representing your blood. As often as we eat of this and drink of it, we proclaim your death till you come, and we do it in your remembrance. And so once everyone is saved, ushers, if you could raise your hands and let me know that everyone has been served. I think I said saved, but that everyone has been served. We'll go ahead and we'll have communion together. Is there anyone that's been omitted? We need some more over here to my left, your right. Praise God. Thank you all for sticking around. It's a great day, a glorious day. And you get the rest of the day to share in the goodness and glory of God. Hallelujah. Once again, thank you for our guests for coming to fellowship with you. With us, I can talk, I can think too. Thank you for coming to fellowship with us. We bless you in Jesus' wonderful name. If you have any prayer requests, don't hesitate. We will agree with you in prayer. See God move mightily on your behalf. Has everyone been served? All right, no one's been omitted. Let us take of the bread. In the night in which he took bread and broke it, we commemorate that night. He held it up before the Father and blessed it. And Father, we thank you as we eat of this bread in remembrance of Jesus, proclaiming his death till he comes. Thank you for blessing it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take the bread and eat together. And likewise, let's take the cup representing the fruit of the vine. The blood of Jesus shed for many for the remission of sins. You may hear some of us shaking it up. It's okay to shake it up before you open it up. Or you just turn it up and just drink all of it, as Jesus said. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for the cup representing the precious blood. Bless it now as we drink. Amen. And I like to close it out with this. And now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Father, bless your people. And I speak and pronounce the blessing and favor of God over each and every one of you. That the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell. And Father, we ask your blessing upon the offering today, the tithes and the offerings, the resurrection seed that is sown in faith. We pray for your blessing to multiply and increase. We pray for this congregation, this assembly, that, Lord, you will cause them to prosper and to be in health even as their soul prospers. That, Lord God, the windows of heaven are open over them. The treasuries of heaven are poured out upon them. The former and the latter rain comes upon them, producing a perpetual harvest on their behalf. grant raises and promotions. Create jobs, Lord God, for your people. Let there be bonuses and increase and favor, uncommon favor, favor with you and favor with mankind that comes upon your people. Multiply the offerings that we are able, Lord God, to do far beyond what we are currently capable of doing in ministering and preaching the kingdom of God in this earth. We thank you for every giver, every tither, every seed sower. We thank you for every person, Lord God, that even had the desire in their heart. If they have not the means, Father God, break the power of lack off of their lives and abundantly supply them. Let them know that it is your good pleasure not only to give the kingdom, but to give them every richly blessing and favor in life. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody who agreed said amen. Give your neighbor a high five, a holy hug. We thank you from the depths of our heart for coming out today in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, parents.